You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining out.
Come over here, kid. Why, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of water, and you fry some garlic.
It's
and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet. My country, 'tis of thee. I eat for social progress. I eat for victory.
Delicious. Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the One Country's Most Delicious Hour. It's Michelle and Jordan. How are you doing today? Interesting weather, isn't it? Woke up to rain in the middle of the night, and first thing I thought of was all the farmers who were just about to get up and start harvesting things for the Sunday farmers markets. The market in Sebastopol was a little bit smaller than usual. I know that Brock Fulmer of Black Sheep Farm was not there because it had snowed in Potter Valley outside of Ukiah where he lives, and he couldn't get out. So interesting May weather, but I really mind when it rains. It's good for the ground. A couple of things before I introduce tonight's guests. One, I've mentioned my blog a couple of times, and I want to mention it again now because there's something real important that I would like you to read if you go online at all. The blog is at the Press Democrat website, pressdemocrat.com. It's called Eat This Now. And with the release of the 70 parks that are slated for closure in Sonoma County, one of the ones that is on the list is the Bale Grist Mill in Calistoga. I've written about it a couple of times this year. I've written about it in the past, and I hope to be writing about it again. It is a remarkable treasure of history, culture, the story of it, and how this mill that was built and then served as the community center for the whole Calistoga, Santa Elena, Napa area in middle 19th century up into the late 19th century, and was the domain of women. Women often were in charge of this mill, and it's just really a treasure. It's been beautifully preserved, and you can actually buy the grains that are milled there, the buckwheat, rye, corn, a whole variety of things. They'd cut the hours back a couple of years ago pretty severely. It was open 7 days a week. Now it's open just Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 4. There's been a full-time mill guy. What's the right name? Miller. He's been there. He gives incredibly informative, wonderful tours that show the functioning. You can actually participate and help out. And they've been getting ready to schedule some candlelight dinners there over the summer. So what will happen now with these closures? I don't know. And when these closures are slated to happen, I also don't know that. But I think it might be time to talk to people in charge. I actually wrote a letter to the governor. I haven't done that in a very, very long time. I just go. You can read the details at Eat This Now. It's the most recent post, and it'll be very obvious by the title. But pay attention. The closure of these 70 parks, and so many of them in our area, in the North Coast, in the North Bay, could really, really change the nature of life here. So I hope that you will pay attention. Also, I wanted to tell you, I had a guest, I think, 2 weeks ago. We had Kondra Eastley from Patisserie Angelica. They have sort of a benefit for themselves coming up on June 2nd at 5:30 to 8:30 at Soda Rock Winery. It's called Cake Futures. They will be talking about their two new cake clubs. And if you love chocolate or have a friend who loves chocolate, there's going to be an entire chocolate room with a chocolate groaning board. And you can go to Facebook and just type in Cake Futures and get the details, or you can Google Cake Futures and Patisserie Angelica. We are in the midst of a membership drive. We are not going to be begging you for money tonight, but you might want to listen in tomorrow and throughout the week, because we do have a couple of tickets to Cake Futures for people who join KRCB and support Mouthful. So stay tuned. And even if that's not the way you go, consider going to this event on June 2nd. It's a really good cause. And if you're at all into sweets and also savories, because a number of chefs are going to be there early in the evening, and there will be music as well. It's a really good event. And on that note, it's time to introduce my guests. If you listened last week from the archives, we had Ann Fisher Silva and Sally Fallon. And that was sort of like your preparation, your homework to tonight's show. We have Ann Fisher Silva of A New Leaf Nutrition and A New Leaf Skincare in the studio with us. Welcome back.
Thanks, Michelle. It's nice to be here.
And we also have Jennifer Harris, who is the very busy right now executive director of the upcoming Fermentation Festival in Freestone. I'm so glad you could join us, Jennifer.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
So why don't we start with you and tell people the details of what's happening, because it's happening really soon.
It is happening really soon. Just next weekend, May 21st, we're having a fantastic festival out in the little town of Freestone to celebrate all things fermented. So we have over 40 different exhibitors who are coming to exhibit their fermented beverages, foods, compost teas for your soils, skin cares for your body, just about everything under the sun that you can think of. There's someone that's fermenting it, and they'll be bringing it to our festival. So I'm really thrilled to showcase a lot of these producers of these foods that we don't even know are in our own county. So as a fermenter myself, I've been incredibly impressed to discover all the people who are doing this in a traditional way in our Sonoma County here.
Now, where is it taking place?
It will be out in Freestone. However, it's just about 2 miles beyond the center of the town of Freestone. So if you know that little Freestone Bakery and Osmosis mm-hmm. Spa and Freestone Vineyards, you follow the road about 2 miles north on Bohemian Highway, and it leads you to the Salmon Creek Elementary School, mm-hmm. which is a beautiful school grounds. We're very fortunate to be using the grounds this year for our third year. And the festival will start at noon and go until 5 p.m.
Okay. And what's the cost to get in?
It'll be $12 this year for adults and $7 for children. Mm-hmm. We do have tickets available online at our website at freestonefermentationfestival.com, as well as around town. So at Copperfields Books in both Santa Rosa and Sebastopol, Osmosis Spa in Freestone, and also Whole Foods Sebastopol has them for us as well.
And you can get tickets at the door as well, right?
Correct.
About how many people do you anticipate?
We're hoping for around 800 this year, 800 to 1,000. And ticket sales are already reflecting that. We've sold a couple hundred tickets online. Most of our ticket sales generally happen in the last week, and they're going fast.
Uh-huh. And what about, how's parking?
Parking will be predominantly through Marmar, the winery out there, which mm-hmm. is very near, about a fourth of a mile
down the road.
Yeah,
just very close. And she built that Miramar Toros, of course, and they built that beautiful eco-classroom sort of space there at the school.
The environmental center, yes.
Right, yes.
Which some of our indoor exhibitors will be exhibiting in from, and the rest of the festival will be taking place outside on the fields.
Sounds great. And when you say you have 40 different fermenters of types, I think a lot of people know, fermented beverages, beer, wine, What else?
Beer, wine, neither of which will be at our festival this year because it is a completely non-alcoholic festival. So in years future, perhaps we will hold it at a at an area that we can purchase that license. But we did decide this year to stick with our non-alcoholic ferments. Now, beverages, you'd be thinking about wild brews such as a wild ginger brew, perhaps a wild root beer that would highlight an anise flavor. We have a few people that are bringing lacto-fermented beverages, so they have a number of different flavors, and they've been fermenting them with a lactobacillus culture. Mm-hmm. We also have some folks that are bringing water kefirs that have been used in different liquids, such as coconut waters and waters.
Now, this is a great time to pull in, Anne, because you brought some water kefir.
I did.
And you do lacto-fermentation.
Kefir is not necessarily, water kefir is not a lacto-ferment.
But when you do, when you ferment with whey, is that?
Absolutely, that is lacto-fermentation.
Yeah.
And so I brought some root beer tonight for us to taste.
Oh, great.
Which
okay.
is lacto-fermented.
Okay. Yeah. If you want to pour us some,
sure.
we'll just add that all in.
Let's do water kefir.
Let's do it. Anne is one of the exhibitors who will be at our festival this year. So Anne will be there with the Weston A. Price Foundation, the local chapter. There will be a few more of her local chapter members bringing some more beverages as well.
Oh, so great.
We're all coordinating and bringing different things. We'll have my sodas, the rose hibiscus soda.
Which I've had and is absolutely delicious.
Yeah. Well, I'll be doing root beer. We'll be doing beet kvass and kombucha.
And kombucha. Mm-hmm. Would you describe both? Here, cheers.
Cheers.
Would you describe both of those? The beet kvass.
Beet kvass is lacto fermented, and it's just beets, and it's an incredibly healthy beverage. Mm-hmm. It's Russian in origin and consumed daily in that part of the world. And so, you know, we're always looking at ferments to give us probiotics. That's mm-hmm. primarily why we drink it. But traditionally, this is how people preserved food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we talk about sauerkrauts and different kinds of vegetable ferments, it was a way of preserving, but also a way to increase health.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to guess, and I don't know if we know, but I would guess it was the sort of intuitive approach to health. They
Absolutely.
Had things to preserve. They learned how to preserve them. They were healthy. And then somebody later looked back and investigated and saw that, because it seems like so many things in the world, like spices, for example, serve as preservatives in that part of the world.
That's right. And kefir, or kefir, which is probably the correct pronunciation, is of Turkish origin. And the loose translation is well-being. It promotes well-being. And so, you know, people just traditionally knew that this was something that was going to promote health.
Okay, great.
Mm. And I have to say, it's absolutely incredible. It's to live for, speaking of promoting
health.
Now,
this one, I did lemon and ginger in the water.
Just lemon, ginger, whey?
Kefir grains.
Oh, kefir grains.
Kefir grains, yeah. There's a difference between the water kefir and the milk kefir.
Mm-hmm.
So they're called sugary water kefir grains. And with each batch, they proliferate. And so you can start dividing them up and giving them to your friends and making new batches. And I just think it's a nice alternative for anybody who's lactose intolerant or just looking for a different beverage that's mm-hmm. kind of quenching.
It is. It's very thirst quenching. It's also, I love ginger.
Me too.
And it's got a really nice flavor of mm-hmm. ginger. Mm-hmm. But it's not, it's refreshing and subtle.
It's not a bitey ginger taste.
And not just that, it's not overwhelming in general.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really lovely.
Mm-hmm.
How hard are these things to make at home?
They're so incredibly easy. I taught a fermentation class yesterday, and these women were just so surprised at how easy all this mm-hmm. stuff was. That's all that it takes? You know, it really is so simple. A lot of it is just setting it up and walking away and letting it do its thing for a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
That's the easiest part.
Now, how do the kefir, what are they called again?
Kefir grains.
Kefir grains. How do they create?
It's almost like a sourdough starter. You have to have those.
Okay.
So you either get them from someone who has previously fermented, or mm-hmm. you can get them online.
Oh, okay.
At culturesforhealth.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy both water kefir grains and milk kefir grains there, and all of the supplies that you might need to go with that.
Really interesting. So back to the fermentation festival. There'll be these 40 vendors. People will be tasting things. What other sorts of things will be going on?
Well, one of our most exciting new additions this year, most exciting in my opinion, is the People's Kombucha Awards. Now, for the first approximately hour, until our samples run out, our festival goers will have the opportunity to sample 8 different companies, and it might be more. They're still getting in at the last minute. They're still finding me. But at least 8 companies. People will get to test these 8 companies on a number of different criteria that we have created based on both wine and coffee grades that have been written previously. So folks will have the opportunity to pick apart aromas, complexities, effervescence, basically what they like about each brew. There's a lot of different brews on the market right now, speaking of kombucha. And a lot of us know that earlier in 2010, actually, many of the kombuchas were recalled from the shelves due to a fact that they were sitting and fermenting too long, were not being sold within the week or two that they arrived in that store. And the natural fermentation process with the sugars involved were continuing to ferment the product over a 2 or 3% alcohol level.
Uh-oh.
So you had some very happy kombucha drinkers. I, in fact, was actually teaching at a Montessori school and recall an afternoon when I put down my kombucha and I said, I don't think this is the right thing for me to be drinking today because mm-hmm. I'm feeling a little too happy.
Would you describe kombucha?
I would. So kombucha is something that is a fermented beverage that depends on a symbiotic culture. So much like water kefir grains, and actually I believe that kombucha came from water grains. I believe that it was, and this is a little personal belief, but I believe that it was a beverage that someone dumped some water grains into, and the culture continued to survive. And over time, this really strong culture that we know today has continued to adopt different acids into it, and its family is so strong that it continues to live. And many of the kombuchas that we know might have an alkalinity or an acidity present that we're used to as a kombucha tartness or tang, mm-hmm. but we're possibly not around in the original kombuchas, in my opinion. Kombucha survives with a symbiotic culture of both bacteria and yeast. People end up describing it as a kombucha mushroom. The thing that does grow on top, it is absolutely not a mushroom and doesn't
something
belong.
Grows on, so you have the kombucha and something grows on top of it?
It's also called a SCOBY.
Okay.
And it does look mushroom-like. And so it proliferates on itself, basically, and does a bloom. And you can kind of separate that out and start new batches with that. So to the SCOBY, you would add black tea and sugar.
Oh, okay.
Or green.
Yeah, or you could do any
kind
of tea.
You could do any teas.
You could do herbal tea.
Any kind of tea.
Yeah. But the traditional kombucha is made with black tea.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But during the process, the sugar is fermented. It's just feeding mm-hmm. the process. And the tea, the caffeine is absorbed too. So mm-hmm. there really isn't very low caffeine.
Absolutely. In fact, research studies have been done about differences between caffeine levels in a white tea, a black tea, and a green tea kombucha with no differences shown whatsoever. So that word SCOBY then comes from what I was saying is the symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast, which would spell out SCOBY.
Okay.
And it is. It actually looks like a very thin jellyfish membrane that starts to grow.
Yes.
And you can grow it yourself by purchasing a bottle of kombucha and leaving it at room temperature, adding a little bit more sugar tea and getting it started based on its own living enzymes and its own living cultures inside. But kombucha is a fermented beverage that needs that SCOBY to survive and to continue to develop. Once you remove that from it, then the cultures are not growing in the same way, and they're actually developing by internally battling and fighting each other and such. And so once you remove that SCOBY, many of us put it into a bottling process at that point and remove the air, turning into an anaerobic fermentation process, which then gives you that sparkly bubble that we love so much, that fizz.
Mm-hmm. Which is very similar to lactofermentation.
Right. Yeah. This is fascinating. I'm trying, it's like, wow.
And the
What's
reason that I
question?
Got started with all this, there's a phenomenal book that got put out by a man named Sander Katz, who has really laid the brickwork for a lot of us at home who just have a glass jar and a head of cabbage and some sea salt, and you want to make sauerkraut, but you don't know where to go next. And
what's the name of the book?
His name is Sander,
yeah,
Sander Katz.
Wild and then, Fermentation. Hmm? Wild Fermentation.
Oh, okay. I know that book.
Yeah. And as well, he has a follow-up book titled, well, not necessarily follow-up, but another book of his is called The Revolution Will Not Be Microwaved, and he is he's a godfather in my eyes of the whole food movement and traditional preservation. And so I began emailing with him a couple years ago, as well as starting to make some of the recipes in his book. And my partner and I got really into making his ginger brew. So at some point tonight, we'll have to open up.
Well,
I brought
let's
us
try it.
Some ginger brew. You know what I didn't remember is my church key. Do you think you have one anywhere? Because otherwise, I may have something that I can work
with. We do have something in the KRCB kitchen. We may need to put on a little musical, may need to take a little musical break, and I will run out to get it, and we'll be back and try some ginger drink. It's Mouthful. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. It is KRCB. And we are about to try ginger beer. Is that right? This is Jennifer Harris's home fermented.
This
By what process?
This is non-alcoholic. So my partner and I started with an organic ginger that you grate and you let its own cultures gather.
Its own juices and all that.
Okay. Just like a sourdough starter would initially start. I see our little SCOBY moving.
So it's called a ginger bug at that point.
A ginger bug, mm-hmm. Okay. It really has a bite that is really, from my point of view, appealing. It's got this really nice back of the throat tartness that's really cool.
This is one of the more powerful, I do call it medicinal ones
that we
did. I was
going to say it tastes medicinal.
Medicinal because in what way? I mean, what would you...
In a digestive way as well as a cleansing way.
Okay.
I don't know if you'd agree with that, Anne, but...
Absolutely.
Both my mother and I have really sensitive digestive tracts, and if we have a reaction to anything, a tiny sip of this really calms my digestive tract completely.
Really?
That's the ginger, mostly, but a lot of the natural fermentation will encourage those feelings as well.
I know when you're growing up, I mean, for a long time, Coca-Cola syrup was something they gave you, you know, pharmacies would send it to you if you had a kid who was throwing up, but also ginger ale if you were feeling quizzy, and ginger candy or just plain ginger has long been
motion sickness.
For motion sickness, yes.
This is good.
Yes,
this is okay. You know what, though? I'm noting that this has a tiny bit of an undertone of something a bit different. Somebody else invited to the party that I didn't invite.
And there's something very lemony tart.
It does have lemon. It does okay, have it does. Some Meyer lemon in it.
Okay.
Compared to the one, because actually, like I said, he and I brewed this a few months ago. So compared to the one that I just opened a couple weeks ago, it actually has a different flavor to it. So I'm thinking that somebody might have joined this party that the other guy didn't have in him. But it did have only ginger and lemon and then some spices. And with this particular one, I believe that we may have just used a black pepper. And
There's another reason I like it. I love black pepper with these other ingredients.
Mm-hmm. Very spicy.
Very, yeah. It has a nice hue to it, but this one is not driving me crazy for some reason.
Oh, I like it. I really like it. Okay, so back to the fermentation festival. We have 40 people displaying different things. We have the kombucha awards. Anything else? Are there workshops or are there things where learn how to
do things? There are DIY workshops all day long. Anne mentioned Beet Kvass. There's a woman who's in Santa Cruz area. She has a website called Lisa's Counterculture. I don't know if you have ever heard of her, but she is the representative on the West Coast for a product that's called the Pickle It Jar. And she will be bringing some jars and instructing a Beet Kvass class with the jars.
Oh, that's
so
great.
So we will have an opportunity to actually learn to make the ferment, which Anne will be serving at the festival. She's going to have some.
I will have Beet Kvass.
Oh, you will?
To sample.
You know, it makes me think of the drink in Mexico, the traditional drink for El Dia de los Muertos, Las Grimas. And I don't know how, I never remember the right way to say the Virgin, but it's tears of the, they're the red tears of the Virgin.
Is it of beet origin?
Yeah, it's beets.
Oh,
it's
is just, it salty?
No.
Okay.
It's not
beet
salty.
Beet Kvass is salty.
Ooh, then I would really like that.
So you'll have to first go by her booth, try it, and then you'll have to go by to the demo at 4 p.m. to make it.
Oh, interesting. Very interesting.
And Sander Katz will also be at the Fermentation Festival. Uh-huh. And I don't know what he's demoing, though. What is he doing?
He will actually be addressing the crowd from the main stage with a basic encouragement of fermentation can save our nation. And then he'll be going into an auditorium and doing a Q&A with folks. So there are a lot of people that are really excited to meet him, myself being one of them. And it'll be an opportunity for us to get our questions into a bucket so that he can answer as many of them as possible.
I also wanted to say that people can go to YouTube and look at Sander Katz's videos.
Oh, great.
Yeah, he's got quite a few on there.
Although you may want to actually Google or YouTube Sander Kraut.
Sander Kraut?
Because I think that's what he puts his videos under.
Okay.
Well, you know what I'll do? I'll do a blog post, Eddie, this now, and I'll include links to his, I'll just do direct links. So all you'll need to do is go to Eat This Now at the Press Democrat website, and you can click on through.
Perfect.
And I'll put some information up about the Fermentation Festival as well.
That would be great. It is actually going to be Sander Katz's birthday this weekend.
Oh.
So it's his birthday on Friday.
Uh-huh.
And so he will be joining our feast. We're also having a fermented feast Friday night, and we will be baking him a special chocolate cake with something fermented inside of it. So it'll be a really special treat for us to welcome Sander, who so many of us love, to Sonoma County for his birthday and for a festival that promotes what he loves.
Well, that's really great. And what a nice coincidence that it's his birthday, too. Mm-hmm. Makes it more celebratory. We are going to take another musical break here. And, you know, I lied to you at the top of the hour. I said we were not going to take a break for pitching, but I am going to be coming back and doing that. But we will have some tickets to the Fermentation Festival, and we have found those tickets to the Cake Futures as well. So stay tuned and get your, I can't say dialing finger anymore, really, but get that finger ready. We will be right back.
It was pink champagne that stole my gal from me. It was pink champagne, where can my lover be? It was pink champagne that left me.
feeling blue. It was pink champagne that left me feeling blue. It was pink champagne and now it's up to you. Champagne, champagne, mellow, mellow wine. Champagne, champagne, mellow, mellow wine. Makes one feel so doggone fine.
Yes, you know what this is. It is Mouthful. It's Michelle and a Jordan, and I need to talk to you for a couple minutes. You know, people who listen to Mouthful have really gotten a free ride for a couple of years now. We haven't done heavy begging for money on Mouthful for a number of reasons. I just really wanted to take a break. I've been doing Mouthful now for 15 and a half years, and I just wanted to, you know, breathe in, concentrate on my show. But it's really important that we come to you now and then and ask for you to join us. And you know that there are two ways to do that. One is to go to krcb.org and click on Support KRCB Radio. That's a very easy, quiet way. Or you can call 584-2020. That's 584-2020. If you happen to be listening through iTunes or through the website, you might need to add the area code of 707. If you're a longtime listener, you know that there's the $40 basic package. You know, isn't that something like 11 cents a day? I mean, it's not very much. And this just happens to be how public radio in the United States works. We get a little bit of money from Congress, rather begrudgingly. We almost lost the very small amount that we get. But most of public radio is funded by the public, and that is you. So if you listen, it would be great if you could kick in a little cash to support it. This is your local public radio station, not a radio station that is servicing a much larger community. Those stations have their roles, but this is one that is very, very much about Sonoma County. If you can spend $5 a month, that's $60 a year. And if you call just during Mouthful, you can get, I think it is, two tickets to the Fermentation Festival as your thank you gift. So right there, that is that's a $22 value. And if you're listening, you probably are already making plans to go to that festival. $7 a month, you get a KRCB t-shirt. But here's the one, $10 a month, that's $120 a year, you get a ticket to Cake Futures. It's the extravaganza by Patisserie Angelica. It's taking place Thursday evening, June 2nd, from 5:30 to 8. It's taking place at Soda Rock Winery, and it's going to be absolutely delicious. There are a number of chefs preparing savory foods. Oh, it's not just all about desserts, and there will be music, there'll be wine, there'll be an auction, and the auction items, there's a lot of really, really extraordinary culinary experiences. People who will come into your home and teach you to cook. There are baking classes, there are private parties. And then there will be the glorious chocolate room. It's this major chocolate groaning board of handmade desserts from Patisserie Angelica. And the tickets are $65 each. And we have two to give away. So when you join at the $120 level, we will give you one of those tickets just to say thank you. That number again is 584-2020. Over the 15 years that I have been doing Mouthful, one of the things I've learned is that y'all often call after Mouthful, sometimes even as late as the next morning. And as far as I'm concerned, the offers that I'm making to you right now are still good, because I know that sometimes you don't want to interrupt Mouthful by making that phone call. Again, you can do it silently by going online, krcb.org, or you can call now, or you can call anytime, say before 10 o'clock tomorrow, if you would like some of the thank you gifts that we have listed here. There are a couple of other thank you gifts at the $10 a month or $120 a year level. There's the Taste Alexander Valley tickets. That's also taking place next weekend. And in addition, you will get a KRCB t-shirt. It's a really cool image as well. So again, that number, 584-2020, tickets for the Fermentation Festival at $5 a month, a ticket to Cake Futures at $120 a month. I'm counting on your support. I know that you're there, and that's why, for I don't even know how many Sundays it's been that I've been driving in from Sebastopol as a volunteer. People often forget that the people that you hear from on your public radio station, we're all volunteers. We don't get paid for what we do. I both produce Mouthful and I host it, and I do it because I love Sonoma County. Because I love radio. I love radio that is really intimate and brought to you by people that you might run into at the farmer's market. So there you go. That's my pitch. We're going to go back to talking. Let's see, where were we? We just tasted your ginger beer, which you're not wild about.
You know, I'm wild about it, but okay. For some reason, and Anne and I were just discussing in the break, you know, every ferment is different.
Sure.
And a lot of times I just swear that I'm putting in the same amount of salt, the same amount of ginger, and the same amount of peppers into my kimchi, but it might taste completely different than the last batch.
Yeah, well, that have to do to some degree, I assume it would, with, say, the ambient temperature in the room during the fermentation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And
I know I act differently, you know, depending on the temperature.
That's
I
right.
would assume the little creatures that make this happen act
I've
differently.
I had to really play with my oven in, you know, I had two lights in there and I had to pull out one bulb because it was too warm.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you really do need to find that sweet spot mm-hmm. in terms of temperature to make things grow properly.
Yeah, I've been trying to do my first fermentation using whey. Because I've been making, I love making yogurt. It's so easy and it's so
yes.
good. And I make, I usually make yogurt cheese after I make the yogurt. And so I have all this whey. So you told me about your hibiscus. Well, I tried your hibiscus and rose hips and it was so delicious. And nothing has happened. I started it on Tuesday and I transferred it. I actually waited until, I forget if I transferred it on Thursday evening or Friday morning, but there was nothing that indicated that it was fermenting yet, but I still did what I was supposed to, and nothing happened for all of Friday, nothing happened Saturday, so now I put the bottles into a thermal sack with a hot water bottle, and I take the blanket twice a day, I put it into the dryer and get it hot, and I tuck it all around it, and I think I saw some bubbles this afternoon.
Some people will get a cardboard box and put a light bulb
in there. A light bulb, that's like chickens.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yes.
a great idea.
Yeah, or you can use a cooler with
Something warm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like you're talking about doing. You know, there's a variety. You could use a dehydrator and just set it really low.
Oh.
Lots of ways you can get that done.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, you know, going into this week, I thought it was going to be warm.
And didn't we all? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I have to say also that I've lost several batches. Either they got moldy on top, it was too warm, or they didn't ferment. So, you know, it's living food and it's finicky sometimes.
Yeah. Well, it's like making bread.
That's right.
You know, I've always had really good luck making bread. Every now and then something doesn't work, but mostly I've done really well with bread.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also in that weird season where it's not really cold enough. I heat with wood. It's not really cold enough to build a fire.
But it's not warm enough
to
ferment. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just poured us some root beer.
So tell us, what is in this? It's very, very pale. It's the color of honey.
Yes. This is a little bit different than my other favorite,
the
which
aroma.
Is, isn't it nice?
Wow. It's
very
root beer aroma.
The rose hibiscus soda, which is my absolute favorite, is a cold infusion. And I like to keep that a cold infusion so that you're maintaining all the vitamin C, because both hibiscus and rose hips are high in vitamin C. This, however, because you're starting with sassafras and sarsaparilla and licorice, which are all really
now,
dense,
do you mean
fruity.
Licorice root?
Yes, licorice root, dried licorice root. They're all very dense, you know, woody kinds of herbs. You have to boil them. So this is boiled first, and then you strain that off, and then you add in your sugar and whey. I've been searching for that magic ingredient to make it really taste like root beer, and I think it is wintergreen.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. It has, I just put a couple drops of wintergreen in it, and it kind of just enlivens it. So do you like this?
I do like this, and it's funny. When I went to Rosemary's Garden in Sebastopol to buy hibiscus and rose hips.
Right.
I looked, I was like, oh, there's licorice root. And I immediately said, well, I could try this and I could try this. And it's like, calm down. You haven't even made one yet. Calm down. So
I'll
I was going to ask you, have you ever experimented with licorice root? Because I love licorice root.
Now, this particular batch, I did add a little bit more licorice. And you can taste that in it. You can.
And it's in the nose and it's just beautiful.
But that's the beautiful thing about these is you can customize this, you know, any way you want. You can, if you want to play up the floral tones, I add more rose hips. Mm-hmm. You know, or if I just really want that kind of astringent taste, I'll add more hibiscus. Mm-hmm. So you can make it any way you want.
Yeah, the hibiscus flavor is so refreshing in hot weather.
Mm-hmm. Very much.
Yeah. Now, talk a little bit more about the health benefits of these home fermented beverages.
Well, your immune system is in your gut. And so, you know, so many people with bad diets have really blown out their gut, either from eating too many junk foods or antibiotics, or women use the birth control pills. You know, all of those things impact your gut health. And so,
what about stress? Does stress impact gut health?
It very much can, because through stress, you would suppress your hydrochloric acid. And so that means you're just not digesting when you eat, which can throw everything off. So this is one way to re-inoculate yourself with healthy bacterium. And that's why we do all these different types. I always talk about these kinds of things, that there's yin and yang ferments. Mm-hmm. So the yin ferments are going to be things that start with... they're the sweets, you know, the lacto-fermented types of things. And the yang ferments are your sauerkrauts, your kimchis, your misos, those kinds of salty ferments. And I think we need to have a little bit of both every day to really optimize our health.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, we're getting in the territory I wanted to go next, which is your nutritional consulting business. We just had a long talk about that, which was really interesting, so it's on my mind. But you have a New Leaf Nutrition.
My office is in Petaluma, and I really try to focus on a couple of different things, just depending on where a client is. Certainly, food has to be where we start, because that's primary nutrition. I do a number of testing. I look at blood chemistries. I do saliva tests. I do hair analysis, just really searching for the underlying cause of whatever a person's condition is. Mm-hmm. Of course, the number one complaint today is fatigue. And stress, and oftentimes, we can look at adrenal testing to determine how a person is dealing with stress. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, well, most of my clients are women. I think women are the health seekers in our country, and so when under stress, women commonly experience hormonal imbalances as a result of that as well. So, you know, that's what I deal with primarily. I do digestive imbalances a lot. We look at blood sugar issues, osteoporosis, arthritis, you know, all of those inflammatory processes. Just really trying to figure out what's driving that for each person.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think for people who haven't been exposed to really any of the things that we've been talking about here today, I think their thoughts of nutritionists are, eek, they're not going to let me eat any of the foods that I like. And one of the things I have to say about you is it's very clear that you have a sensual side. You like to eat and you're not a finger wagger.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. And I think that good food is tasty. Mm-hmm. You know, what I think people's palates have become skewed to the McDonald's of the world and that level. But I do think that when you are eating good food, it should be, have adequate fat in it. You know, fat
Say more
is
about
essential.
That.
Fat is essential. And historically, I'm a big traditional food person, and I think that prior to 150 years ago, people had excellent health. You know, it was really the industrialization of food and all of the processing that took place that removed all the nutrients that is a huge cause of why we're where we are in our country in terms of health decline, obesity, and so on. So traditionally, if you look at the way people ate, it was large amounts of fat. The caveat around that is if you're going to eat like a traditional person, you have to move like one too. So
yeah, you can't sit in front of your computer 12 hours a day and eat 4,500 calories a day.
That's right.
Yeah, so you have to adjust for the amount that you move. But things like butter.
Absolutely.
Duck fat. Those sorts of things. Things that actually contribute really good flavor to food are also contributing to your health.
That's right. And the other part of that is that when you're eating nutrient-dense foods, you don't need to eat as much, which is sometimes an adjustment for people when they, you know, we so supersize everything in our country, and you don't need to do that when you're eating nutrient-dense foods. Smaller amounts will satisfy you.
Yeah. One of the things, I was reading something, I think I was poking around your website, and you said something, I was so happy that you'd said it, because it's something I've been talking about for a long time from a different vantage point, and that's that it takes 20 minutes for your stomach to let your brain know that you're full.
And that's correct.
One of the things I've wondered about is with this obesity, especially obesity in kids, but obesity with anybody, people tend to eat by themselves more than they ever did before. People eat alone. They gobble their food. One of the stories that has always broken my heart was this girl who was in juvenile hall in Santa Rosa. And the woman who was working there was suddenly cooking good food, and kids were eating around the table, and it freaked her out. She refused to eat. And it turns out, her whole life, this girl only ate foods from a 7-Eleven or something in packages in her room by herself.
That's really sad.
The thought of eating in front of other people and around people was terrifying to her. But if you think about it, if you're with even one other person or, you know, your whole family, and you're talking, I mean, it's going to take you 30 minutes.
It's going to slow you down.
Yeah, and you find that you're satisfied with less.
That's right. And the other thought, the other theory that I have about obesity is that when a person is only fueling with foods that aren't of great nutritional value, their body is always seeking to get that nutrition. And so it's like, well, that donut didn't do it. Let's try a Big Mac because maybe I'll get it there. And so you're just constantly trying to fuel to satisfy your body's needs.
Yeah, and you're not getting satisfaction, so you're just eating more.
That's right.
Yeah.
And let me butt in for, in a tiny way with and just say with that root beer, you know, your version of root beer, it reminds me that we're actually poisoning our children in a lot of ways. We're teaching their bodies to get used to chemicals at a low tolerance at a young age, and then they do continue to develop habits and a lifestyle that not only involves those but relies on them as their quote-unquote nutrition. So to hear you say something like, some people might hear the word nutrition think eek. They just need to really taste good nutrition to not say eek.
Well, there's been that real tradition of finger-wagging nutritionists. I mean, I think the prime example is you think about if you ever go into the hospital or someone you know goes into the hospital and you look at what you're fed, and there's also the idea that nutritionists are in charge of that. And I think there has been that whole tradition, however, or whole perception, however inaccurate, and not entirely inaccurate, that, you know, they're going to, a nutritionist is going to tell you, you can't have any fat in your diet, zero fat. So right there, you know, you've got that hurdle to get over. And then they might also be taking away just, even if you eat well, they're going to be taking away all these things. And I always think of Larry King, you know, the talk show host. And I saw him once, and it wasn't that long ago. And he had some sort of nutritionist on. And he says, well, the basic rule is, if it tastes good, it's bad for you, right? And he was absolutely serious. And it's like, that's so illogical. We wouldn't exist, because if we only ate things that tasted bad, you know, we wouldn't have survived because nobody would do that for that long.
But there's some truth to that in that that's where the standardization is. You know, the food pyramid, the USDA standards are don't consume any fat and consume massive amounts of carbohydrates. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of a recipe for disaster as far as I'm concerned. So what I usually find is if we can get a person off those carbohydrates and eating more nutrient-dense foods that includes fat and good sources of protein, they don't really want the carbs anymore because they've been on a blood sugar roller coaster with those, and they recognize the stability that those other foods offer.
Yeah, it's much different. How do people get your services?
They can give me a call or find me on my website.
And it's a new leaf nutrition.net.
And my phone number is 707-849-3569.
That's 849-3569 for A New Leaf Nutrition, and it's Ann Fisher-Selva. Jennifer, what do you do when you're not putting together the Fermentation Festival?
I'm running around town finding more excitement to be involved in, generally. But, well, first of all, let me just conclude that by saying to folks, come by and meet Ann at the festival. Then you don't have to go to her website. You can just get all the information in person. So we have amazing plethora of knowledge that's going to be at this festival. So if you have any interest in nutrition at this point in your life, this is basically the opposite of finger wagging. We'll be passing you incredible samples and coercing you into nutrition all day long.
Yes, and now Anna's just pouring. Oh my, look at that.
This looks heavenly. This looks absolutely
This is
incredible.
A milk kefir smoothie?
This is raw milk kefir. I made kefir from raw milk. And then blended this up in a smoothie with strawberries and blueberries.
I realize we haven't been sharing anything with Eric, Mouthful's engineer, and we definitely should. He has a great interest in nutrition as well. It's very good, very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make milk kefir very quickly at home?
Milk kefir, you would need to start with milk kefir grains, just like with the water kefir, but it's a different grain, and they're little probiotic jewels. And basically, you just add milk to them and set them out on the counter, and in 24 hours, you have kefir. And there are many more positive probiotics in kefir than there are in yogurt, so it's just a really lovely food.
I know that homemade kefir, something Lou Preston of Dry Creek absolutely swears by. He drinks a lot of it every day, and he credits it with all kinds of amazing health effects.
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
You know what else that Lou is up to these days is he has decided to brew his own kombucha.
So I'm not at all surprised.
So he will be bringing his kombucha to our contest. So if you'd like to sample his kombucha, please do stop by his tent because that man is making an apple kombucha these days.
You know, and if Lou has made it, it's both good and interesting. No question.
And the word around town is he's been learning from the masters locally. I think that he's actually been spending a lot of time with Sean Levitt of Revive Kombucha. I was with them a couple weeks ago, and they were sharing with me that Sean had actually taken Lou under his shoulder to teach him the local kombucha route.
Oh, cool. Well, great. So, good for Sean. And on that note, I have to beg for money again. So thanks so much to both of you for being here. And as always, you can send me an email, catsmilk@sonic.net, if you want any information about tonight's guests. And you'll both come back at some point, won't you?
Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. And I've got to send you guys to the website to check out the Freestone Fermentation Festival. Please do check out on Friday the 20th, which is Sandra's birthday. Before the festival, we'll be having a symposium. Ann and I will both be there speaking with Sandra Katz, Jenny McGruther of NourishedKitchen.com, as well as a number of other citizen community members that will want to just be in discussion about fermentation. Then we'll be hosting a fermentation feast from 6 to 9 p.m. And this is an incredible opportunity to eat all things fermented. John Ash has worked with us on this to create absolutely fantastic menu.
Great.
Not to be missed.
Those are taking place on May 20th. The symposium is $45. The dinner is $100. And they're both taking place Where?
Those are on Shone, actually on the Shone Farm.
Oh, on Shone Farm. Oh, great. Great place, Shone Farm. Really great. Spectacular views. And then the festival itself, Saturday, May 21st. FreestoneFermentationFestival.com is the website. And so we've got just a few more minutes. Do I need to make my case again about are you a member of KRCB? And even if you are a member of KRCB, do you want to throw a little extra bit of money because you love Mouthful? Maybe you have an extra $60 that won't kill you and you can get those two tickets to the Freestone Fermentation Festival. You know, and let me explain a little bit about what Cake Futures itself means. The event is on June 2nd, but it's a kickoff to two cake clubs. One is a Cake of the Month club. The other is a holiday cake club, so you get to choose what holidays, and then no matter where you are in Sonoma County or be anywhere in the United States, they will ship the cakes to you in whatever arrangement that you have set up. And so this is a kickoff party for that and for some of the other things that Patisserie Angelica is going to be doing in the near future, including they hope, bottling some of the sauces that they make and making those available at other retail locations throughout Northern California. The tickets are $65 each, but if you can come into the KRCB family at $10 a month, a ticket is yours. The number, 584-2020. It's 584-2020. To renew your membership, become a new member, or make an extra donation. You, of course, are the public radio, are the public in public radio, because if it's not you, who is it? It's whoever is listening to Mouthful or to KRCB at any time. You are the public that makes it all happen. So I really would love it if you had it in your heart and your checking account to show support for this show. 584-2020 again is the number. The basic membership, and it is really hard economic times for everyone right now. $40 basic membership is the heart and soul of KRCB. You get our undying gratitude. You also get a coupon for a 10-ounce can of coffee from TaylorMade Coffee, longtime supporters of KRCB. That's at the $40 level. There's a CD of the Month Club. There are special CD thank you gifts that start at the $60 level. Just some of them, the new Emmylou Harris Hard Bargain CD, Katie Lang Sing It Loud, the new Paul Simon. Lots of CDs to choose from. But the important thing is just show your support for public radio, for the radio that you like, the radio that is not generic, that is not brought to you by some big corporation who's, you know, counting the demographics and making sure that they get enough hits on for their advertisers. But this is about your community, the things you care about in Sonoma County and throughout the North Bay. That number is 585-2020. Be sure to meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour here on KRCB. Have a great week.
Mouthful is produced by Michelle Anna Jordan. It's engineered by Lawrence Alberti and Eric Black. For more information about Mouthful, email to catsmilk@sonic.net. That's catsmilk@sonic.net. You can also go to krcb.org and download podcasts of Mouthful, as well as from iTunes.
And the moral of this story, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough, even he'll get hungry too, and he'll sing,
to the Lord let praises be. It's time for dinner now, let's go eat. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher says, to the Lord let praises be. It's time for dinner now, let's go eat. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher says. Time for dinner now, let's go. We got some beans and some
dinner now, let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread.